Welcome to Coastal Cafe. I'm Marianne Wagner, your host today. Coastal Cafe is a joint production of Washington Sea Grant at the University of Washington, College of the Environment, and KPTZ 91.9 FM. We are honored to have on Coastal Cafe today artist and musician Preston Singletary. The music of the band Kuich is featured every month in the opening and closing of our show, and it is the brainchild of Preston and his co-founder, Bernie Worrell. Preston is an internationally recognized artist whose work has become synonymous with the connections between European glass-blowing traditions and the Northwest Native art. He uses designs from his Tlingit cultural heritage to inform his work, but also uses glass and other non-traditional materials to innovate and push the perceived boundaries of traditional Native art. His works are included in museum collections such as the British Museum, Museum of Fine Arts in Boston, the Seattle Art Museum, and the Smithsonian Institution in Washington, D.C. He teaches, lectures, and exhibits internationally and also somehow finds time for his other talents as a musician. Welcome to Coastal Cafe, Preston.
Thank you for having me.
We are here in Preston's studio hot shop in Seattle, surrounded by all the accoutrements of a hot shop, with working artists, furnaces, and works of glass art in various stages of creation. Beyond being an accomplished glass artist, you are also an accomplished musician and songwriter, and the lead in the band Kuich. But music is not a side gig for you. You are a musician with a purpose. So we have a few questions to ask you, Preston. So tell us about your band, and what are the origins of this name, Kuich?
Well, the word Kuich means potlatch in the Tlingit language, and so in a simple kind of interpretation, it's a sharing of music and dance and songs and language, stories. That's how I interpret it. And we use that name. A lot of the members are Alaska Native or Native American, over half the members. And we, yeah, so that was the origin of the name.
Well, this is no typical band. As you mentioned, most members are Native American, and elements of the music are derived from Native subjects, with rhythms and phrases drawn from Native heritage. Kuich features spoken word, Native storytelling, and singing performed with an experimental approach with even rock and funk aspects. And the band sometimes even performs in traditional regalia and Northwest Coast masks. That's all true?
Yes. We use the language, the Tlingit Haida language, on the next album coming up. We actually have the Yupik language as well from the far north of Alaska. And so we're really into this idea of language preservation, but we're also using traditional, you know, melodies and interpreting them in new ways with the full band ensemble with, you know, keyboards, bass, and guitar, horns, percussion, and all of that. So we do elements of storytelling, both, you know, kind of traditional storytelling as well as more like poetry. So a lot of it is Native themed. Yeah, and then we kind of use the energy of the electric instruments to sort of really, you know, kind of create a new genre, if you will.
Yeah, and would you say that the mission of your band is to retain some of this heritage or push some new boundaries? Can you talk about the band in terms of a mission?
Part of my, my artistic expression includes music, and it was in high school that I started as a musician, and that was my first love. I did end up falling into glass blowing, and that became a way for me to make a living. But, you know, when I found an opportunity to get back to the music, for a few years, I had a group called Little Big Band, and it was kind of a Native American blues soul funk band. And so I ended up making the acquaintance of Bernie Worrell, who was the co-founder of Parliament Funkadelic and played with the Talking Heads and many, many other amazing musicians from many different spectrums. And he expressed an interest in working with me. And this was for my 50th birthday that I paid into a Kickstarter campaign, which helped him finance a tour bus, because he was still, you know, as a 68-year-old man, he was still, like, you know, out on the road and playing clubs and touring with his band. And so, and that was the Bernie Worrell Orchestra at the time. So he came and played my party. And I had mentioned to his wife, who was also his promoter, that I was also a musician. And, you know, when we were talking about the deal and how Bernie would come out, drive that tour bus out to Seattle and play a party. And then, you know, she suggested we open up, you know, we have another additional date where they could sell tickets so they could make money while they were also on the road. And so my band opened up for that Bernie Worrell Orchestra. And after that, we, you know, struck up a close friendship. And that's how it all started.
That's great. So who writes the music? Tell us about that.
We first started trying to interpret traditional melodies and, you know, give them that compositional approach with horns and guitars and bass and stuff, and give it sort of a jazzy rock sort of background. So then I found a really good sort of collaboration or working relationship with Captain Rob, who's the guitar player. He's a Blackfoot tribal member, and he and I have a lot of similar interests in musical styles. And so over the 3 years of recording that we did with Bernie, Rob and I would kick ideas back and forth, scratch ideas, and then we would bring them into the studio very loosely. And then we would just kind of jam on those themes and those compositions. And then we would add to them and create structure of the music. So it was a very organic and a very collaborative process.
Well, this program typically interviews people who are making positive contributions to the marine environment in Washington State, usually in research or education. So musicians and artists are not typically who we interview, but much of what you write about in your music is connected to the water and to our surrounding environment. And can you tell us about that?
The album that we released called Heen translates into water in the Tlingit language.
Can you spell that? How do you spell that?
It's H-E-E-N. This first E has a little hyphen over it. Translates into water in the Tlingit language. And we started to group the songs that we had and found that we had different themes. And so this was the water batch of songs. And there's a lot of reference to water, stories about water. There's a very political, you know, piece that we did called Shell No that was featured on there. There's a killer whale creation song, which is quite a long song. It talks about the origins of the killer whale from the Tlingit story. And then there was also a song to the water protectors, which was also kind of a commentary on, you know, the Dakota Pipeline, the standoff that was happening with the Native American people that were pushing against that.
Well, we chose the music that opens our show because it sounds like the rhythms of waves, as I recall, and it evokes the sound of water. Other songs reference the role of water, and as you mentioned, you have an entire album dedicated to a water theme. And I especially like the canoe song. That's mm-hmm. a wonderful one. Let's listen to a piece of music from that album and see what we think.
Thank you.
So why is water an important inspiration to your band?
I think because we're in the Northwest, you know, this is a region that is surrounded by water. I've always lived here in Seattle, and for me to not be around water, it feels very odd. And I mean, I've been in other regions where, you know, I mean, beautiful desert regions, but, you know, it has a different feel to it. I love to go visit it, but I always want to live around water. And so I think that is one of the sort of omnipresent things that are here on the coast all the way up into Alaska. And of course, you know, the canoe song that we were talking about, these canoes were the main source of transportation. It was like your car, and in a lot of ways, that book Passage to Juno is talking about how the native people felt more comfortable on the water than they did on the land. It was something that they understood the water, they understood how to navigate it. They used it to get around, and in some ways, it was more predictable than what might be, you know, off in the forest, so to speak. You know, like.
I've noticed in your art that you have a number of canoes, or at least you have some representation of canoes. Mm-hmm. Also seabirds, salmon, mm-hmm. and water. So.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of stories of referencing water. Raven stole the water from Petrel, who was, you know, guarding this natural spring, you know, and Raven basically tricked him and fooled him flying away, and so he swallowed up that entire natural spring, and he tried to fly off, but he was so engorged with water, water dribbled out of his mouth and created the streams and the rivers. And, you know, and it also, for me, it kind of references the glass, the fluidity of glass, transparent quality of glass. And so that's why I like to work with that image, you know, create water in, you know, water-like designs in my pieces.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it occurs to me that's one reason you're attracted to the medium of glass, is because it does transform. It starts liquid and becomes solid, yeah. And you can work with it in both formats. You can work with it. Anything right. about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's true. Glass is a frozen liquid, and when I started to work with the material, I didn't really know where it would lead me, but it was something to do with my hands, and that was something that was very attractive to me and kind of exciting. And so the more that I worked with it and learned how artists work with glass, the more I was able to eventually figure out what I could do with it that would be more personal in my own style.
More personal. And as you mentioned, you grew up in Seattle. How did you, as a boy growing up in urban Seattle, get connected to your Tlingit heritage and native music?
The Tlingit culture is part of my family background, and it's a matrilineal society, so it still stems through me, you know, back to my mother, my grandmother, great-grandmother. And my great-grandmother moved down to Seattle from Sitka in the 20s. And so from that point forward, you know, the whole family grew up in Seattle. And so I grew up very urban, but I also remember, you know, spending time with my great-grandmother, and she lived to be 100 years old. And, you know, so, you know, I have a lot of family members that are very, very involved with the Native community. And so I found ways to connect with different teachers and mentors and, you know, develop my work. You know, eventually started going up to Alaska and interacting with the tribal community up there and introducing myself and finding opportunities to work with different people.
If you're just joining us, this is KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend, and I am Marianne Wagner, today's host of Coastal Cafe. And we're speaking with musician and glass artist Preston Singletary. So does your work in glass art ever inspire your music writing? Are there connections between the two?
Both the music and the glass that I do is connected to my cultural background. And it's part of what I call my artistic expression. You know, incorporating Native musicians with the contemporary band context is really a new thing for me, there's all kinds of different Native genres of music. Like there's Native reggae, Native blues, Native folk music, and world beat, what have you. But so I really wanted to create more of a jazz, rock, you know, and funk style group, and that's what we ended up doing. And, you know, for me, that it's kind of two-sided, you know, the glass art, you know, of course, that I've developed, and the connections to the tribal community, or actually the indigenous community around the world. I mean, I've been involved with, you know, working with Maori artists from New Zealand and Aboriginal artists from Australia, Native Americans from all around the country. And that's given me an amazing life experience. You know, I've placed myself on this path, and I keep discovering new things that I can explore and learn from and try to do.
Well, your work has also been hailed for its blending of European glass blowing traditions with Northwest Native art, but you studied in Sweden?
Well, I did go to Sweden in 1993 on a work trip, and that's where I met my wife. So 6 months after we met, I decided that she was the one. I packed everything up, put everything in storage, and told her that I was going to come and live in her apartment, and she agreed to let me do that. So I did live there for 6 months. I was working in the university, kind of working with the students there. So technically, I was really just soaking in the perspective of European design. So my wife was a design student in a art school there, and she was in her final year. And so for me, it was really an interesting perspective just to look at the marriage of art and industry and how, you know, the master craftsman and the designer process works.
And you've also worked with Italian masters. Has that work informed yours?
Yeah, early on I made a really great connection with some Italian master glass blowers through, you know, being at Pilchuck Glass School, and Lino Tagliapietra for one, and he was pretty instrumental in bringing the Italian glassblowing technique to America and really kind of shedding light on their approach to glassblowing, which is really advanced. And for the long time, it was very secretive. And so we had the great opportunity to work and become friends with Lino, and he shared with us lots of perspective on glassmaking techniques. And in some cases, you know, we might utilize our actual Italian technique but overall, it's more about the whole process of glass blowing itself. That was really a big gift that he gave to us and a legacy that he left, you know, for the glass art community.
That's wonderful. And getting back to the music, you have drawn to music for most of your life, been drawn to it, I should say. And before Kweek, you led another band, the Big Little Band?
Little Big Band,
yeah. I got it wrong, okay. And that really focused more on the funk piece aspects of music, but it also did include some storytelling, is that right?
That's true, yeah. It was, I called it sort of a soul kind of pop style. It never really got into the whole funk, you know, vein, but it had some funky aspects to it, I guess.
And you really focused more on the Native traditions with this band, would you say? It seems that your focus is
feel like it. You know, it's become a little bit more focused, the Kweek band, because we were able to expand on that idea of what Little Big Band was. I think that it just evolved into a different and new thing.
Well, we'd love to see more of that music. And can you tell us about any current projects coming up for the band?
There's a couple things. We're working on a documentary film that's going to be probably ready by the middle of early next year, I guess, in 2020, and that's going to be analyzing the story and the evolution of the band and talking about the aspects of what we feel it brings to Native culture, what we feel it contributes, and different aspects about that. And then we have a fourth album coming out that we'll be calling, we're going to call it Wooch, which, and also is in Tlingit, it means bringing people together. So this fourth album is there's a lot of the themes are about human interaction and relationships and sometimes social commentary around that. And so, but it's interesting because it's sort of a little bit of a double entendre. Bernie was referred to as, you know, his moniker was the Wizard of Woo. So he was always talking about this woo, and so wooch kind of is a play on words. We're even thinking maybe it's going to be purple wooch because purple was the color that he wore all the time. He always wore purple, and so that is going to be the next and fourth album. It'll be a triple album.
And it sounds like it's in honor of Bernie a little bit.
Yes, this is like the last sort of cream of the crop that we have of all the music that we made with Bernie. And there's probably some B-sides that we might get to later, but this is really the best of the best that we have of the work that we did with Bernie.
How do you juggle both basically a career in music and a full-blown international career in art?
That's a good question, but the music is pretty much an elated hobby. I mean, I felt it was really important to make these albums. You know, I've always wanted to be a musician. Was my profession that I would have chosen for myself, but it didn't really, you know, it didn't really pan out for me. So to make this, you know, body of music for me is just what I was driven to do.
Well, I think you've done a very good job of something as a side gig, as you say. And we want to share that music with our listeners. And can you tell us how we can learn more about the band and how to learn about upcoming performances? Is there a place you can direct us?
Yeah, we're pretty active on social media, Facebook, but we also have a website, and it's www.kueex.com. So it's KHUEEX.com. And that's there you can find all the music, and you can see all the, we have a little bit of a calendar on there as well.
Well, I hope your music, with its native rhythms and words inspired by our water environment, will inspire others to be appreciative of our marine environment, much as your glass art does. So thank you, Preston, for sharing your music with us today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
This is Marianne Wagner, and you've been listening to Coastal Cafe, a joint production of Washington Sea Grant at the UW College of the Environment and KPTZ 91.9 FM. Washington Sea Grant helps people in marine life thrive by providing research, technical expertise, and education that supports the conservation of our ocean and coastlines. I'd like to thank our station manager, Larry Stein, and production engineer, Jared Dufresne, and Aaron Barnett. And as always, a special shout-out to the band Kueek for their sharing their music with us at the open and closing of this program, and also today throughout the interview. And thank you for listening, and have a good day.
Do I see?